Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Ghost Bed. To find your perfect mattress, check out ghostbed.com/ghost. And right now, Ghost Bed is offering our listeners 40% off Ghost Bed bundles, where you get a mattress and adjustable base, or 30% off site-wide. Hurry, take advantage of these savings at ghostbed.com/ghost and use promo code GHOST.
Today on another chilling episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, what started as a simple gift from a grandfather to a grandchild would soon have much more meaning than either could ever imagine, as this unassuming lamp would slowly turn into a portal and way of communication between the living and the dead in this tight family unit. How could a simple lamp have such powers? We study that story and many more today on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And if you like the show and you want access to all of our bonus episodes, you get advanced episodes of the show, no commercials as well, and that full archive of episodes, check out our Patreon page. Go to patreon.com/real ghost stories or just search Real Ghost Stories Online on the Patreon app. You can even go to our website, ghostpodcast.com, and sign up there as well to get all those extras. Tony and Todd with you on today's episode of the program. What's going on?
So weird, because in the intro there, they were talking about a portal.
Yeah.
Right? And I don't think much of them. I mean, whenever I think portal, I think of like scary movies and stuff like that, and the portal to hell and all that kind of stuff.
Sure. But
something interesting over the weekend, I've got a friend who lives in the UK. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of woo-woo. And so sometimes we share some woo-woo stories and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Well, I'm working out in garden." In my house, when I first bought, was nothing but just mud and gross.
Mm-hmm.
And because there's a lot of shade there. So I created kind of a shade garden. It's all shade plants, and put up an arbor and put up a fence and all that kind of stuff. It's kind of cute. It's kind of like where I go to kind of get away from everybody.
Sure.
So I spend a lot of time out there in the summer.
Yeah.
And so I took a picture of it. I sent it. She goes, "Oh my God, that archway is a portal." And I said, "What? To what? What's the portal to?" And she said, "Well, it's like the energies come and go there because of the serenity of your garden." So I don't know what to believe, but then you have the intro on this and it's talking about portals. So now I'm freaking out a little bit.
That's interesting. Yeah. I don't know much about like how anyone technically describes a portal. But I don't know. I don't know if I believe there's certain areas that have them, but are they natural things? I guess would be my first question is, are these just, they're all over the place and they just occur naturally? It's part of, you know, just our makeup that we don't quite understand yet. Or can you create one by your actions?
Right. That's a good question. I think I kind of believe that as well. I think certain things are drawn to certain places, etc. And I've experienced, in investigating, I've experienced locations that seem to be almost like a train station or a subway station, where energies come and go. They're not always there.
Yeah.
But they come for a short period of time and they travel through, almost like, you know, in Harry Potter, when they have to get to that certain point of the train station and then like jump through to the other side. It almost reminds me of that, but I don't know that I would necessarily consider that a portal necessarily.
So are you going to do anything to try and confirm if this is a portal in your garden?
I don't know what to do. First of all, I don't know if I want to know that there's things coming and going just outside my house.
Yeah.
And second of all, I don't know what to do unless I go out there with some equipment and, you know, and see what happens, but I don't know.
It's that's an interesting one. I mean, you could go out with, I mean, what would you use to test it if you could try and get an answer?
I would probably go out with an MP3 recorder, some kind of audio recorder, maybe some video.
Mm-hmm.
What I'd like to do is actually throw a video camera out there, like a closed circuit camera or something, and just let it record out there for a while. It would actually do two things. Number one, maybe I'd catch a ghost, but certainly I would find out what the hell is digging up some of my plants out there. So well, I might actually kill two birds with one stone.
There's demons doing it. That's what's happening at night.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. It's not a chipmunk. It's some old lady from the 1892 that lived on my property or something like that. Exactly. She's pissed off.
There's a new Bruce Springsteen song for your garden. It's like, there's a portal in Todd's garden. What the fuck? You had me at hello. You had me at hello.
No more singing on this.
Yes,
okay?
Yes. Ah, gosh. Well, that's interesting. Possible portal in your garden.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, my garden is a really positive place for me. I have several archways in it. I showed you that video the other day.
Which blew my mind. And I had to share it with a couple of people. I'm like, look at this asshole. I got this little plot of land up by my garage that I'm trying to grow shit in. Look at this.
My little arena of hay bales and shit growing. Yeah. And it's, so far it's going pretty good. But I don't know. I mean, I feel really at peace out there. I don't know if it's just because there's not people. It's just plants. And I don't know, plants can't make you feel shitty unless they're like, I don't know, I guess if they're dying, you can be like, oh, God damn it, plant. But I don't know. I can understand where there's like some energy thing going on in that space, because it has a very unique feel to it outside of other, you know, places in the yard or whatnot.
Do you feel kind of grounded there?
I do. Honest. Yeah, I do. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I'll just go out there if I'm busy. I need a break. I'll just go out there and just like, you know, weed a little bit or trim the plants and then just come back in and not make a big deal of it, but then I can keep up on it. And it's kind of a good reset place.
I see me saying to you, hey, what you doing? And I see you with your air quotes going, I'm weeding. I'm trimming the plants.
I'm weeding while weeding in my garden. Yes. Correct. Yes, exactly. Exactly. And there's the edibles over there on the table. And then there's you can't grow that in this state legally. So I don't touch trying to grow it, because that would not end well. It's one of those weird laws still. You can't have anything up there, right? There's no medical in Wisconsin yet.
Nothing. No.
Wow.
Nothing.
It'll come. I think it's a great thing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first story that it says, hi, Tony and everyone. I've been listening to Real Ghost Stories Online since 2017, but this is the first time I've written in. I've got a few stories I'd like to share with you, but I just heard this story this evening that mentioned a touch lamp, and it reminded me of my own story. When I was a kid, my grandpa gave me a little touch lamp as a gift. I didn't think much of it, but always kept it in my room, despite rarely using it. Never did anything weird for the first years I had it. My grandpa gave it to me when I was about 10, and he died in 2009 when I was 14. 2 years later, when I was about 16 or so, I was going to sleep. My mom stopped by my room to say goodnight. She closed the door behind her, and I was facing the wall with my eyes closed. But I sensed light in the room, and turned over to see that the touch lamp was on. It was on a high-up shelf across the room, sitting next to a photo of my grandpa. I almost never used it at the time. My first instinct was that it was my grandpa saying hi. I even got up and asked my mom if she had turned it on before leaving my room for some reason, but she said no. So I shrugged it off as my grandpa saying hi and didn't really think about it after that. I brought the lamp with me to college and all various places I lived during. It didn't light up on its own for a few years until I moved into my grandpa's old house after I graduated. Within a year of living there, the lamp started lighting up once in a while, maybe once a month, and it creeped me out sometimes because my grandpa's house had some weird energy in it. And one time while showering, I happened to be thinking about what it could be. I reminded myself that the first time it happened, I thought it was him. And then, as if to confirm that thought, I got out of the shower to see the lamp fully lit on my nightstand. One October, it happened a lot more than usual, about twice a week. And that month, my great aunt's grandpa's sister passed away. The week leading up to her death was the most active week, and then after she passed, it stopped happening completely. I think my grandpa might have been visiting around that time to be there when his sister crossed over. I still have the lamp. I think I'll always hang on to it in hopes that my grandpa will stop by and say hello. Thank you for rating. Hello to Harper, Carol, and Todd as well. I love the podcast and have many more stories to share, so I'll write in again sometime soon. Jordan from New Mexico. Interesting. So would that lamp qualify as a portal, or is it just more so like it's something that can be used as a tool and she's just carrying it around with her?
Yeah, I don't know that it would necessarily be a portal, because I would think a portal would be something that actually allows something to come through mm-hmm. and travel and all that kind of stuff. But certainly some sort of like a trigger object, a communication device of some sort that, and when Jordan said that, you know, they immediately thought it was Grandpa when it happened the first time. I wonder sometimes if our thoughts that we put into stuff like that create even more. So in other words, Jordan believing that it was her grandfather that turned it on, from then on out, if he was going to communicate with her, he would probably use that device.
Like she assigned it almost.
Correct. Yeah. Correct.
And then he would know, oh, okay, if I do this with that, she'll think it's me. But if if I turn the stove on without lighting the gas, she won't think it's me. So like one's going to slowly poison everyone in the home, and the other is going to give you messages through your light. Could possibly be the same person with a weird energy in that house.
Once in an investigation, I'll just throw this out there. We, you know, investigated all night long. We're like, use the MP3 recorder, use the EMF detector, you know, do this, do that. And we got little bits and pieces of stuff.
Yeah.
But when we finally said, okay, do the thing that you know how to do, not only did that happen on command, but then all this other stuff happened, because it's like we've, like you said, assigned that as a way of communicating.
Yeah.
It was something that they knew how to do. So all of a sudden now we were getting conversations in the middle of nowhere with nobody around and all sorts of stuff.
That's interesting, because yeah, people do walk in there with their tools and like, okay, use this. And it's like, how about I use something that I've been sitting here playing with all week because I'm fucking dead and there's nothing else to do. And now I know how to use this telephone and I can play any song you want just with the digits. It's like stuff like that. We're like, yeah, use more of what's there that they would know versus, you know, here, scanning words, pick words. Like, I don't even, how would you know to do that?
Walking into a room and telling somebody to communicate using Chinese as a language and them not knowing how to do that. You know, exactly. It's the same thing. And it was very eye-opening for me. It's like, holy shit. Yeah.
A lot of it is the way I think we look at it, because there's like all these ways of that people have been doing things and everybody just does the same thing forever. But I think there's a lot more open-mindedness coming to this area and ideas and ways of doing it that's not just, an EVP or, this device or that device. It's just more natural type things. Back to the conversation in just a second. First, I want to thank our supporter today. It is Ghost Bed. We all know how important sleep is to our overall health and wellness. So I'm really excited to tell you about these guys, because they have an amazing product, or I should say products, because there's several of them, from their beds to their pillows to their sheets. It's all wonderful, and it's summer and it's hot, and cooling is very important right now at this time of year. I love their products. Even Harper loves their products too. You have one of the Ghost pillows. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it just makes it so much easier to fall asleep, because I do have some just generally like falling asleep problems, but that has really helped me.
It does. Ghostbed is made by Nature Sleep. It's an industry leader in the mattress space since 2001. Every Ghostbed product, from their mattresses to their sheets and pillows, designed with cooling features, so it's perfect if you sleep warm, which most people do. They've even gotten a mattress dubbed the coolest bed in the world. Shipping is free. It's fast. You can try their products out and their mattresses for 101 nights. And you even get an industry-leading warranty up to 25 years. Check it out for yourself. Free shipping, and most orders ship within 24 hours. I was amazed when I put my order in, and it was like, boom, it was on my steps like the next day. I was shocked. Zero down, 0% APR financing, easy financing on mattresses starting at $35 a month. So yes, you can buy a mattress for like $35 a month. To find the perfect mattress, check out ghostbed.com/ghost. And right now, GhostBed is offering our listeners 40% off GhostBed bundles, where you get a mattress and adjustable base, or 30% off site-wide. That's 30% off all mattresses plus two luxury pillows. Use promo code GHOST at GhostBed.com/ghost. Hurry, take advantage of these savings. That's GhostBed.com/ghost and use promo code GHOST. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. I want to go to this letter. It says, love your show. Listen to it all the time. I'm somehow comforted by the paranormal. And I believe it's due to the few months in 1979 when I was about 11 years old. My mom and I moved in with my great Grammy Susie Q to care for her until she could be placed in an old folks home. I adored my Grammy and her cozy home in Monmouth, Maine. It had this 50s style kitchen with red, white gingham curtains, white cabinets, and a squeaky screen door. The kitchen even smelled like cookies. It was a bright, cozy home that felt comforting at first. My great-grandfather built the home in 1921 and died there in 1973 from a complication of MS. I loved to explore the old house inside and out. The first eerie feelings came from my grandpa's old woodworking area. It was left undisturbed, just as he had left it so many years ago. Unfinished projects, dusty tools sat on the table. It smelled of sawdust, and I felt strongly a presence there, though I was just spooked by it and didn't understand. My curiosity would always bring me back there. The area surrounding the house was lovely, with high hay fields, huge oak trees, and white fences. Although it felt so unexplainable, everything echoed. The basketball hitting the driveway, voices and such. The backyard was particularly strange, as it seemed to be void of any sound. The air was so very thick there. All of the kids in the family avoided this area as it felt like you'd be swallowed up by it. A huge tree was struck by lightning twice in that backyard. Inside the house was odd, too. Both the top of the stairs and the basement door held an energy that was creepy to me and actually all the kids in our family. I'd run by those areas so not to be caught by whatever was watching me. Grammy would talk about the man that came up there from basements constantly, went out the front door. Who is that man? She'd ask my mom. Mom would just say she didn't know. She would also complain about the Indians in her bedroom that would keep her up all night, circling her bed and chanting. I'd feel chills go up my spine when she'd share these things. Many family members saw a figure looking out a window through the years, which happened to be my bedroom window, when no one was home. One night I heard footsteps in the hall and felt something sit on my bed and put their icy cold hand on my leg. Thinking it was my mom, I asked her what was wrong. I was shaken when she didn't answer me and louder exclaimed, Mom, only to hear her response from across the hallway. I would have fainting spells going up the stairs more than once, having never fainted before living there. On one night, my grandpa, who was a Baptist minister, stayed with us in his family home and awoke us by screaming that the devil was on his head. I was kind of pushed out of the commotion going on that night, but was freaked out by his screams. Many of these incidents, such as that, my mother would try to explain away as a dream or something, so not to scare me. I learned later in life that she was covering up things to protect me somehow. What really has probably scared me the most was a reoccurring dream I'd have of this tiny, evil old lady flying at me, screaming. Just this year, while talking about the old house with my aunts, my Aunt Jeannie told me how terrified she was of the old witch that would scream and fly at her. I had tears in my eyes. I never told anyone my dreams. Lastly, a freaky thing happened to me at least three times in that house that I've never heard another person experiencing. I'd walk up to my mom and Grammy, Susie, talking, and they would start talking so fast it was like a fast-forward button was pushed. I'd scream at them to stop and run off. Mom still remembers that and how she worried that I was losing my mind. It was only 6 months that we lived in that house. It seemed like years to me at such a young age. I still think about it, how much I loved it. It comforted me and scared me all at the same time. Anyway, that's my story. Thank you, Donna. It makes me wonder, carbon monoxide?
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Just kind of the weird distorted realities that they were having. Although there are some elements to this that are paranormal where the aunt knows about the dream with the witch type character and they never discussed it. But I wonder if there's, I mean, I think sometimes you can have a combination of the two going on, especially in old houses.
Yeah, and I think one actually feeds the other. So in other words, if there was some sort of carbon monoxide or some other physical thing going on, environmental, sometimes I think that that gets your health to a certain level where other stuff is able to happen as well. And that I'll also say about people that have like mental diseases and stuff like that, where they're having mental difficulties. I think sometimes that allows people who are already suffering from that to then be open to other things that the rest of us may or may not experience.
I agree.
I think you're possibly right.
I agree. That's an interesting thought on so many different levels about different things. I was doing an interview the other day about, I forgot, it was some asylum. It was someone who actually worked in this asylum while it was active from like 88 to 98. And it was really interesting because he experienced so many paranormal things while working there. But he also really kind of wondered, you know, how much, or I asked, how often is it the individuals that were housed there, that were living there as patients, how often were they, you know, there was a combination of, yes, there's a mental illness going on here, but on top of that, are they also being plagued by something very paranormal as well? And it's just always being written off as, well, they have this disorder and they're just seeing things, you know?
Right, right.
I think that happens probably more than we realize. 855-853-4802, our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go over here to a caller and hear your ghost story. Hi.
Hi, Tony. It's Olivia. I told you about the weird spirit in one of my classes in college, and I have another one to tell, but it's something different. I hope you can hear me while I'm driving to the airport as we speak. So I went on the weekend with my boyfriend to go meet his family over the Easter weekend, and I remember talking to his aunt and his mother. We were talking about Christianity, and it kind of got onto the topic of angels and demons, because we were just like, I don't know, we were just talking about it, and I asked him, do you think you guys have, you know, guardian angels, or do you think there's like evil that follows you? Because some people have these things. It's like, I know a person, he's not Christian, he doesn't believe in this stuff, but he's had something evil follow him throughout most of his life. I don't want to share, I don't feel like it would be right of me to share the story, but you know, like, it's just knowing people who have dealt with these things is interesting. I'm getting a little off topic here. I'm sorry. It's like 5 in the morning here, and I'm driving after taking 2 exams yesterday to the airport, so I'm a little out of it. But back to what I was saying, when I was talking to them, his aunt brought up a story. He's like, I never told you this. And she looked at his mom, their siblings, and she's like, really, what is it? She's like, well, before you were born, because they're 10 years apart, she said she was in the hospital. I can't recall why, but it was something like she had something going on where she was like in a near-death like moment. But she said that when she was laying there, she felt dazed. Like, she said that she remembers this tall, kind of big, like black man who had like a gentle smile on his face, wearing a red velvet suit, come in, and he like put something in, like, you know, her IV bag, and he just smiled at her and grabbed her hand and, you know, squeezed it a bit, as if he's like saying, like, you're gonna be okay, and he walked away and left. Not only did she see this man, but her mother, who was fully awake, just in a reading magazine, saw this man come in. And the next morning, she felt so much better. She felt like a brand new person, like as if like overnight, everything that she just, you know, suffered from was gone. And she asked the nurse, she's like, who is the black man in the red suit here last night. Like, I don't recall ever seeing anybody wear this type of outfit ever, and I don't think I've ever seen him before. Like, who is he? I want to, you know, ask him what he did to make me feel better. And the nurses looked at her, and they're like, we have no idea who you're talking about. We have no recollection of a man in a red suit coming in. We would have known and documented the time that he came in, but we never saw anybody. And the mom, her mom was like, wait, no, I saw him too. Are you sure you didn't see anybody? And they're like, no. It was honestly, like, it gave me chills, but, like, good chills. Like, wow. Like, the fact that, you know, her own mother, who is not sick, is fully, like, you know, all right, is sitting there just reading a magazine casually, sees a random man come in and, you know, change something in her daughter's IV and leave. And then the daughter's better, and the nurses are saying, we don't know who you're talking about. That is clearly a sign that there is another entity that is on this earth that looks out for, like, people like us. So I just found that really intriguing. And my boyfriend, who is more of a, how do I say this? He's more left brain. Not that I'm saying that all people who are believers and whatnot are like right brains, but he goes by facts and the book. He doesn't believe in ghosts. He believes in angels and demons, but he doesn't think that, you know, they do anything that will come into our lives. He doesn't believe the Ouija board can cause harm. He doesn't believe that, I don't know, he's weird about it. He always says it's the wind or it was just a dream, but he does respect my stories. And he says, I'm sure something happened to you. It's just whenever I talk to him about stuff that other people have been through, he's like, I don't know about that. But anyway. But he was shocked hearing the story because, you know, he usually tries to be like, well, maybe, like, it was just, like, he tries to find a reason to it, but he couldn't name anything. And I was like, there is a reason for you to talk right now. Like, his, like, you know, your aunt's mother literally saw something and she was perfectly fine. That's like as if I was sick and you were sitting in the room just checking in on me and seeing this random person come in and doing this and leaving. And, you know, like, you can't explain that. You can't, you know, debunk anything. Sometimes you just gotta leave these type of things alone and just, you know, realize there's no answer to it. And so I think he respected his aunt, and he respected the story. Like, after I talked to him a little later, I'm like, I think, like, you know, this just happened. I mean, another small story. My sister, it sounds really harsh, but she's okay. She was hit by a car. I was, like, 10 at the time, and she recalled, because this car thought that they could cut in front of a semi, and the semi hit the car, and it spun out of control, and it hit my sister and smashed her into the, street lamp or whatever. She said she recalled feeling a sudden push on her back. She felt stuck, and it was almost as if, like, somebody came up and shoved her out of the way. And she feels like it was her guardian angel or our grandfather protecting her, because I feel like my grandfather checks in once in a while, but I'll feel like somebody's there. And sometimes I'll hear, like, a sudden, like, you know, like, in the room, or just, like, a cough, or just a, just a weird, like, something, you know, clearing of the throat. It's very masculine, so I feel like it's my grandfather checking in on us. I believe it was a guardian angel, but I also feel like my grandfather could have done it. Sorry, my story's a little everywhere and I'm just giving my own input on everything, but I just found that story from my boyfriend's aunt, like, fascinating, like, beautiful, like, you know, piece of, like, God's work here personally as a Christian, to know that there are guardian angels in the world that protect us from harm, you know, every day. Yeah, I've never had an experience, but knowing people that have been through that, it's just truly fascinating. But I haven't been listening to your podcast for a while. It's been busy on my end, but I started catching up on this trip to the airport, and you guys are doing an amazing job, truly. And to all the people that call in, like, amazing stories, really. But God bless y'all. I hope you have a great day. Forgive me if this is, like, a little long, but yeah. Bye. Thanks.
Interesting story of things out there to protect until you wake up one morning and discover that your guardian angel got hungry and your cat's left back paw is missing.
Be nice. I really honed in on the fact that, you know, her boyfriend believes in facts and mm-hmm. believes in the book. I took that as believing in the Bible. And, but you know, he believes in angels and stuff like that, but just that they can't affect our lives and all that kind of stuff. And I always find that interesting because I'm a huge skeptic. You really have to slap me in the face with something before I'll say, hey, that is something.
Sure.
But in while I don't necessarily follow Christianity, I have a respect for it. And I feel like I understand where some of that stuff comes from. But people who can say that they're religious and they believe in angels and they believe in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and then tell you they don't believe in spirits.
Uh-huh.
Hello. Hello. That's part of the triune God thing going on there. There's a spirit. There's a ghost. That's why they used to call it the Holy Ghost.
I know. I don't understand how the two don't like coexist in every religion. Is like, yeah, it's kind of just part of what you're all reading. It's part of the story.
Yeah, we want you to believe in ghosts because you got to believe in that in order to be saved. But don't believe in ghosts.
I know. Okay. It's just, I agree. Although, you know, some versions of it really were open. I remember, here's an interesting one. I really wish I would have been able to go to this, but I was too young. There was, remember the Horicon House on Unsolved Mysteries?
Yeah.
Yeah. That episode, there was one of the investigators who went through that, or I think it was like, there was like a priest or something involved. He came and actually spoke at my parents' church when I was a kid. And it was in the evening. It wasn't like in a service or anything. It was just like a, hey, we're, this would be an interesting guy. And he came and talked about that case and the ghostliness of it. And I guess there was some, correlation with Christianity or something. But it was talked about as fact. It wasn't like, you know, don't believe this or that. It was like, no, this is, they always were kind of like, yeah, that's probably something, you know?
Yeah, it's, you know, and I'm not trying to diss any religions or anything like that. That's not what I'm out for. But it just always interests me that when it is positive for them to use it as a way to prove their religion, they'll use it. But if it's against what they want to teach, they'll shoo it away. And so I think the two have to kind of coexist in order for you to get a really full picture about what's going on in this world.
I don't understand the reason for shooing it away. I mean, what, I don't, why is that, you know?
I don't know. We're, you know, again, we're supposed to believe in heaven and hell and devil and all that kind of stuff. If I believe in that, then I got to believe there could be a guy walking into a hospital room in the middle of the night wearing red and black, you know?
Yeah. I mean, well, I guess, it kind of, it puts a little kink in the heaven or hell, but isn't that where, is that where Catholics have purgatory? Is purgatory like being a ghost, or is that just like a really shitty waiting room?
Yeah, I think it's the waiting line at the nearest Perkins for breakfast on a Sunday morning is basically what that is.
Perkins. Are there still Perkins?
There's a couple handful out there here and there, but yeah.
I was watching this channel that I subscribe to on YouTube. It's called Retail Archaeology. And all they do, this guy, it's so funny to realize that there's other crazy people out there like me who've always been fascinated with abandoned malls and things of that nature. Yeah. And there's like, these guys get hundreds of thousands of views. Like, I was wanting to do this shit before YouTube. And I never thought there'd be that many people. But it's just interesting to learn about some places. I found out that Kmart's, as of the recording of this episode, guess how many Kmart's still exist in the United States?
I think I might know this because I may have seen something online because I'm a little bit like you. I think there's one left.
No, there actually happens to be four as of now, but I think one of them is doing a going out of business sale. I thought there was more than four. I really thought, like, well, you know, there's probably a couple in every state somewhere, because there kind of was for a while. But no more Kmarts.
Was that Kmart music in the background?
It's just kind of, yeah, like, very much like what would have been playing on the Muzak system in 1984. Which,
and then you will find the actual audio people who stole the tapes and put it up on YouTube.
I listen to those sometimes.
So do I.
Like, just for background, like, I don't want to listen to Pandora. I want to listen to the Kmart radio network. And I do, and it's great.
I still have to laugh because every once in a while on the podcast that I do on a weekly basis, yeah, I will talk about the fact that there was an aisle for wigs and there was a cafeteria in this place. There was a wig aisle and a cafeteria at Kmart.
There was. And I always wanted to eat at the cafeteria at Kmart. Never had the pleasure of doing it. It was like, this looks great. This would be fun.
Same.
Yeah.
My mom would never take us there. We could get slushies or icies on the way out because you could get those before you left the store. So we would do that. But the wig aisle scared the shit out of me. And then the cafeteria always smelled good, but I never had a chance to go back there and eat.
Kmart also had a deli. And this was before they even had like a food section.
That's right.
There was a big deli, like as you walked in, and they always had sub sandwich samples. And they always put a lot of pickles on their subs. I always liked Kmart sub sandwiches.
And they would do the cheese and ham sandwich blue light specials every once in a while, too. Yep. I remember that. Yep. Yes.
And then it was like around the early 90s or so is when they switched. They closed the cafe. The deli was gone. It's just when their logo changed to just the red K. They were kind of like rebranding. And then they all got Little Caesars in them. And that just made shopping smell great. The whole time you're like craving Little Caesars as you walk around Kmart. And I remember there was, I've been into a few Kmarts over the last couple of years when I've been driving around, like, oh, there's a Kmart. And the Little Caesars seem to be all shut down, but they're all still, you know, they were there still. Like, there's just other shit sitting in that area. The same tiled floor. It looks like Little Caesars. It's just, and they've been like closed for 10 years, but they never like, nobody ever took it down. It was just, Kmart was the weirdest store to walk around towards the end because it was just this relic of the past and nothing. And Sears feels like that right now. Sears is, that's another one. There's, I think, there's like 22 Sears left or something now.
Yeah, that's so sad, right?
I know. And that's another store where you ever go into one and it's like, what is going on here? But yeah, I imagine they'll be dead by the end of the year. But
last night, to tell you how weird we are together, last night I was actually reading the history of JCPenney and their logo. So that's what I was doing while in bed last night scrolling.
You know what was really cool around there? Because I would do that same sort of shit. The Pennies in Sheboygan still had that old logo until they like became a Home Depot or something, or a Hobby Lobby.
The old Penny where it said Pennies, right?
Yeah, it was just that big blue, the big P on it. And they had that till like, I don't know, probably around 2000, I think, is probably about when that place changed. But they never updated to the new logo.
And God, we're so weird. I just don't understand how many similarities there are. It's just crazy.
Well, there you go. There's a little retail history for you today on Real Ghost Stories Online. All right, that's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Todd, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.